Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Who are the coolest dudes on the planet?
United States veterans.
What's the coolest sport on the planet?
Pro wrestling.
And what would be the coolest podcast on the planet? That would be this one.
U.S. military vets talking pro wrestling.
This is the No Shave Man Cave. Two badass disabled vets sharing their love of pro wrestling, giving you their perspective as fans, talking about current events and matches, history of titles, and who knows what else. Let's do it.
Welcome to the No Shave Men Cave. Now your hosts, Ellie Jair and Jay Tilly.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wrestling fans, and sports entertainment fans all across the world, from Bogota to Boston, all the way from California and Calcutta. Welcome to the No Shave Man Cave. I'm Ellie Jair.
I'm Jay Tilly.
Brothers and sisters of arms, everybody who's checking us out, thank you for joining us here in the No Shave Man Cave. We are here to talk about an okay version.
All right.
Of AEW Dynamite. Dude, JT, talk to me, Goose.
Yeah, so it was an all right show. I mean, I enjoyed parts of it. No, for real, though, it was not quite top tier, old school, what they were doing, like pandemic times. But this was a damn good show. 2 weeks in a row now that they've put on absolutely damn good shows. Yeah, baby, the elite's back is all I can say. Holy cow, man. So, you know, we'll just jump right into it because I have a feeling we're going to be talking quite a bit. It opens up with something that I have watched AEW since the press conference, right? So I've watched AEW press conference, watched the whole first Dynamite, and I don't remember ever. Yeah, I don't remember an opening like this, where the ambulance is pulling away and you got people injured. You've always got like the pyro, you'll get the match, you'll get maybe during the pandemic, Cody came out and cut a really good promo about, you know, the pandemic and why they're going to continue to wrestle and what we all need in wrestling. Yeah. I've never seen an opening like this. So right away, super impactful. You know, right away it was like, oh, this is something very new and interesting. And, you know, so it's...
Say the least.
Yeah. And what I loved, so it's Young Bucks getting carted away, and you got Brandon Cutler jumping in. Hey, somebody needs a ride with Nick. And Hangman's standing there. He's like, oh, man, who did this? Who did this? And you get Kenny Omega saying, well, I got to go. And then Don Callis, no, you don't. You've got a match. And Hangman's like, well, and he starts pulling away and like literally pulling Hangman. So he just jumps in and goes. So we've started off the show with, well, who done it? Who attacked them? later on, you get a text, like, apparently from Cutler saying it was the Blackpool Combat Club. But I have a sneaky suspicion there's something else going on, personally. Mm-hmm. So there were a
couple. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. So I'll just analyze the first part. So there's a couple things in the first shot that I went back and watched a couple times because I thought it was interesting. So if you've ever seen the AEW bus or production truck, it's, you know, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and CM Punk. He's on that and everything. Well, I noticed and it could just be coincidence, but this is what I love about AEW. Maybe it's not. The CM Punk part had stuff covering over it, and it happened to be over Don Callis's shoulder. And I'm just like, oh, man, it's probably nothing. But it's AEW, and the way they've been kind of dropping little teases in throughout the last few months, and now Punk is making a stir on Instagram and you know, said an apology, and then, like, just minutes before we came on, a whole thing about, well, I don't like working there because he tried to make me work hurt. So I'm like, okay, so now he's making a stir. Now his name's getting brought up again. Uh-huh. He came out recently and said he'd like to wrestle again. He'd like to return. And I'm just like, holy shit, are they doing it? Are they actually going to start this storyline? And even if they're not, if it is the Blackpool Comic Club, okay, that's a great storyline too. And so the one thing you said about WWE is that you like when a story thread goes through the show. Well, this is a story thread that's gone through two shows now, because we ended last week with, you know, Hangman in the ring and the Young Bucks and Omega behind him, and Omega kind of giving the, I don't want to deal with
behind
him.
Yep.
And then boom, right into the, okay, now Hangman's with the Young Bucks and they're getting carted off and he's going with them. Yeah. Fantastic opening to the show. Absolutely wonderful. Yeah,
I was, dude, just like you said, I was like, wait a minute. The backdrop looks like he's on the stretcher and he's being ushered into the as the as what culture referred to him as the what do they call it, the wagon, the medical facility wagon. So he's being put into the ambulance, heading off to the medical facility, and the backdrop, I'm looking in the background, I'm like, wait a minute, something seems right? different.
It seemed like it stood out for a reason.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't normally pick up on Easter eggs, but for this one, bum, 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 I was like, wait a minute, this is going to be a thread, because I remember, just like you said, at the end, you've got the elites standing there behind the Hangman. And then, you know, you're watching the Blackpool Combat Club thump through everybody. Moxley's holding on to chokeholds too long and making the ends of the matches, you know, a little dirty or whatever, which, you know, good, bad, or indifferent kind of sullies the presence of Renee. Cause you're like, wait a minute, you could really tie Renee into the situation. But then you're like, well, wait a minute, that was kind of the black eye on Brandy at the end when she had that whole nightmare faction kind of a thing. But I'm thinking, man, this is some really, really high quality storytelling, because you've got Callis with, you know, 40, 50 years of experience. He's AEW's version, albeit a 1B version of Heyman, maybe a 2B, not to discredit what Callis is able to craft up or whatever. And then you've got the elite versus the world, and then you've got the other factions within. And yeah, I was just like, from the minute it hit, I was like, okay, just like you said, like my WWE brain, you know, the story, the show opens, you're in the parking garage. Hey, if I could get a moment. Hey, listen, I've got my world title match. I'm going to go tape up. I'm going to play with it. That's all I've got. I don't have time for you.
Don't make it weird.
And he goes to the back. Don't make it weird. A little bit later, we're outside Ellie Jair's locker room, and we're going to talk to him and blah, blah, blah. And you know, someone busts in. Oh, what's going on? You know what? And then the camera focuses in and it sees like something occur. Oh, evidently Eligier's been jumped and he has something that has been impaled in him.
Don't make it weird.
Don't make it weird. And, you know, that like that's the kind of stuff I like where there's like continuous questions about stuff. And you're like, bro, wait a minute. So Kenny Omega is in the main event. His boys have just been carted off. And then his newest ally has said, hey, I'm going to like doesn't even say anything, just hops right in. And then his confidant is like, hey, don't worry about it. This might be the best thing that ever happened to him. Okay. I don't know how this can be the best thing that ever happened to him. They're like, one is unconscious and like, man, great, great opening. Way to grab the crowd by the huevos rancheros and say, hey, you need to sit down. You need to pay attention. And we're about to go pitcher and pitcher because that's what we do. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. And so like the CM Punk thing could have just been because he's suspended and they don't want to show him on TV. So they covered him. But that's what I love. Like, maybe it's not.
Could have been. Right,
it could have been. Could not have been. You know? And
so imagine if we're at work, right? And we're sitting here, we're talking, and hey, dude, what's going on? Oh, not much, you know, but hey, how was your evening? Oh, it was all right. You know, I did or didn't get into an argument with someone on Facebook or Twitter or with your significant other or my son or my daughter brought home bad grades, blah, blah, blah. But it's like you're sitting there. You're like, oh, man, all these like shadows of doubt. And the way AEW does long-term development, this may not pay off tonight, tomorrow. You know, we've got the four pillars. I feel that match is slowly coming together. We've got a huge quarterly pay-per-view for AEW coming. Every show just seems like bigger and better. And like real quick, shout out to the referees. I'm giving you like 17 clicks. You guys nailed it. And, you know, everybody not being outside the ring for 45 minutes. It was clean. Referees were great. Everybody was in and out and doing great things. And yeah, man, I like this was a fantastic show. Like, man, yeah,
just the threads in the very first, what, 2 minutes I think the show was on, yes, had me hooked. Even with the stuff, like you said, Don Callis said, no, you got an important match, they'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And then kind of like ushering Hangman to go with him. Oh, okay, well, that's gonna pay off later. There's other stuff to come, right?
Yes.
We haven't even gotten to the first match, which was amazing. Like, you know, so that happens and I'm like, man, I'm jazzed. Like, and the funny thing is I missed it. So I had the DVR on going and I had it on live to watch it. And I went out to get a drink or something. And I come back and it was Orange Cassidy's entrance. So I'm just thinking, okay, the show kicked off. And then I saw Twitter like, oh, I got Bucks. I'm like, what? So I backed it up and I was like, holy cow, I totally missed this. So I started it from there, which is funny because even watching the Orange Cassidy match, if they'd opened with that, Orange Cassidy, Sting, and Darby, I would have been hooked anyway because it was great.
Oh,
I really enjoyed it. The character work was amazing. I loved Orange Cassidy coming out and with the face paint and just the O and C on his face. That's it. He didn't take time to really do much. And absolutely Sting in the ring, like paying homage to Orange Cassidy, doing his kicks. Doing the slow roll.
Oh my God.
Out of the way of the splash. Dude,
the slow roll, brother. Oh man, the slow roll, the selling, everything. Hey, I couldn't stop.
And then when he did the chest pound and he just did it very like nonchalant. He was just like
the OC
it was so good.
The OC on his face.
It was so sloppy. and like just like you just totally just did it real fast. Just to
talk about zero effort by freshly squeezed.
Yep.
Staying in character. I love you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we talk about four pillars all the time, and I think legit Orange Cassidy could be in that conversation because he's been with the company.
I don't disagree with you.
Since
absolutely.
He's just one of those dudes that,
yeah.
And I'm a wrestling nerd. I'm a wrestling smart guy. I love wrestling. I dig into stuff. I didn't know who he was. And then everybody made a big deal. Oh man, Orange Cassidy. I'm like, all right, well, let me go watch this guy. And I watch, you know, listen, people out there, if you don't know who somebody is, you can research it. You don't have to just go, oh, I don't know who Vikingo is, so I'm not watching this.
Whatever. I can't believe he's the main event. I've never seen him before.
Bro. Vikingo is my new favorite wrestler. Hey, sorry, Cody. You're the man. I know you're going to win the world title, the undisputed universal world title. Vikingo, hey, brother, if you're listening, talk to me. Let's get your gear on the streets,
man.
And man,
I'm glad you cut me off because I was going to rant.
This whole show, I was yanking on my beard like to the point where I've got to go get the sides cut.
Oh, mine's a mess.
My face is sore because I keep yanking it, bro. Welcome to the No Shave Man Cave intervention because this was a great evening from start to finish.
Yeah.
Feeling it.
Yep. So, yeah, it like I said, Orange Cassidy could be one of the, he could be the fifth pillar, you know, and then you have Britt Baker who could be the female pillar, whatever. But
yeah.
Like,
ooh, that's a good point. Like, why does it just have to be the four pillars?
Yeah. You could have the four women pillars too.
The four corners of the universe, blah, blah. Bullshit. Sorry, kids. You know, man, this is just an awesome time in AEW. This whole show, like I kept scooting my ass closer. Like, oh, I kept getting closer and closer to my TV. And I'm like, oh, this isn't going to. And then, you know, there were a couple of swerves and a couple of things that occurred that, you know, threw me for a loop. But I'm a wrestling fan. I'm here for it. My belief. I hit the pause button the minute I clicked play on my TiVo, as Dreamer says. And yeah, man, great, great, great.
Yeah, I'm going to circle back around to the rant when we get to the main event that I was just about to go on to, because that way I can mark it and edit out some of the curse words I'm going to throw out here.
But there's going to be a couple.
So Orange Cassidy, fantastic. Like, love that match. Love the Sting homage to him. And the rolling out of the ring.
Oh, man. The no-selling.
Was great.
The slow roll.
Oh, fantastic.
Bro.
We roll from that into...
Yeah, that was legit.
What was it? Top Flight and the guns. So, kind of hit a little breaks here a little bit. It wasn't the best Top Flight guns showing, but it served its purpose, right? They played really good heels.
Thank you for saying served its purpose, because it didn't change my beard level.
Right.
Beard level. Didn't change my beard level because I knew deep down in my wrestling heart, my WWE brain, while I was watching the match, I'm like, wait a minute, this is an interesting piece of business. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, man.
That's exactly what it was. It was a good piece of business. I mean, there were some tight moves in the match. There was one cutoff, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but the guns did something in it, and I was like, "Whoa, all right, cool." But what came after was perfect. Perfect. AEW booking, listening to the real world, flipping, working us into a shoot, shooting us into a work. Like, FTR comes out. FTR comes out, and you're like, all right, cool. They're going to challenge for the titles. No, we're not doing it. Guns are like, no, we're not going to. You're never getting a title shot. Well, what if we promise if you guys beat us, we'll never tag in? It's not going to happen. If you guys beat us, we won't do. I forgot what the other option was. No, what are you not understanding? We're not going to do it. All right. How about if we lose, we leave AEW?
Bro,
mic drop.
Did you not scoot? Like, dude, your TV is like 127 inches, but like my TV is a sad 70 inches. I scooted as far Like, I scooted all the way up that I could. I was like, what am I hearing? Are these, like, what? And you could read that one of two ways.
So just put it in context for, like, Jeremy up there in Georgia, or anybody that listens to us aren't really huge wrestling fans and just, like, listen to us, you know, our sexy, sultry voices. But the... So the context is, and if you're a nerdy wrestling fan, which I am, which Jared is, which people who don't like to admit it are, because otherwise this wouldn't have worked. So on his podcast, Dax Hardwood's podcast, and in Twitter, and everywhere that's going on, he is continually talking about, hey, our contracts are up in April. And all the rumors are swirling around that they're going to WWE. They're going to leave. They're going to go back with Triple H, buddy, buddy, and enjoy it.
Do you mean...
Allegedly. Yeah.
So, boom. All right, cool. Well, so all of us nerds are going, yeah, but they're going to get a title shot. They're going to win the titles. They're not leaving. Well, now you put the stipulation on it, and you're taking the real world, the real work that they're doing outside on his podcast, in his Twitter, and now throwing it into the ring. And now I don't flipping know who's going to win this match.
Dude. I messaged the boys over at What Culture. Shout out to Hamflit. Hey, we were going back and forth about who was doing what to who. I was like, okay, now what? I feel like it's not quite checkmate, but it's check.
Yeah.
And if you move your rook, pawn, you know, knight one way or the other, it could be checkmate. And like... And I didn't think it would be the ass boys to put FTR in this spot. Real talk. Like, I just didn't.
And the craziest thing is, it's going to have to happen next week. Because if their contracts are done in April, we don't have a pay-per-view coming up. So I'm just like, what a great way to absolutely build edge-of-your-seat drama in that match. Because if you're an FTR fan, which I am, I enjoy FTR. I think some of their Twitter's a little goofy, but I like FTR. I think they're fantastic in the ring. I don't want them to leave AEW. So now I'm going to be watching that match every single false finish, you know, 2.99 kick out. I'm going to be, oh God. Yeah. Oh God. You know, it's going to be absolutely fantastic. So amazing booking on that. Just,
Are you here for the swerves and the dirty dirt and the what ifs?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so the Ass Boys are the sons of Mr. Ass, Billy Gunn, and FTR has, you know, previously come from the WWE. Billy Gunn does or doesn't cost the Ass Boys the match. FTR does or doesn't go back to WWE, and that changes the whole dynamic, because now where does Billy sit with the Acclaim? Where does Billy sit with the Ass Boys? Where does Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal sit? Like, it just like totally spun the whole tag team division, and it wasn't just a, well, we'll leave if we lose. Well, no, it isn't just one. Okay, so it's only a tag team gone. Like, it totally, like, totally spins everything. And I'm here for it, dude. Like, what I,
beautiful.
We just recently dropped an episode on YouTube. If you get a chance, check it out. It's what we're talking about. And that was one of the hot topics I brought. We came back to that three times. Okay, now what? And great, great storytelling.
Beautiful.
Whoever was in Gorilla.
Beautiful
book. Whoever produced that whole segment. Whoever produced that whole segment, they must have had three notebooks because there is such that, like, the storytelling, like, MC Hammer, too legit to quit. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Fantastic awesome. Booking. What a way to put everybody on the hook for when that match is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not an FTR fan, you're going to root from the loot. Yeah, just really, really good stuff. Then we get the segment. We're going to end up going through the show bit by bit because there was maybe one segment that I could do without. But then we had the Jade Cargill in the back and her cease and desist order. Yeah, it.
I love that.
It was
man.
Great. It wasn't important, but what I love the best was when Ruminave Kett announces that Hook and Stokely Hathaway are coming up next, and Jade goes, "What?" And they all start laughing about how bad he's going to get beat. Man, that I don't know. That tickled me. I thought that it was unique. Yeah. It was something you'd never seen, and I enjoyed that. And then we roll right into that match, and I love the Nation of Domination outfit he was wearing when he comes out.
I thought I was the only one who picked up on that. Was like, holy so Mark Henry.
So Stokely's walking out in the African Nation of Domination outfit. And I love how like the firm is cheering him. And then as soon as he turns his back, they're like, man, he's screwed. Like they're talking to each other like, oh, he's dead. Oh, yeah, he's good. He's good. Man, he's like the worried face, like the comedic timing of that was great. He gets to the ring. Hook makes his entrance. And then I'm like, I have to announce I'm not medically cleared per Dr. Simpson. His name's Dr. Samson, but whatever. And, you know, and I know that was purposeful, but it was great.
Oh, yeah.
It's Justin Roberts. This is the note. And it just says, I am sick. And he goes, this is a Wingstop receipt. That was hell so yeah. good. And then the match is on. And surprisingly, I actually thought it was a decent match. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good bit of business. I enjoyed the part in the back where they pulled out the hardcore stuff and Ethan goes, oh, we didn't teach him hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't cover that.
Yeah.
We didn't.
Good yeah. stuff, man. So it, you know, ends up the chokeout finish. So obviously Hook goes over. And I think we're setting up Hook versus Ethan, which should be a decent match, but enjoyed that. Well, as part of that, there was a couple like homages to Taz in that match too, with the Bury the Barricade laid out in the Tazplex to it. I was like, all right, that was kind of cool. Yeah. Like it had a very ECW feel to it, I think, in my opinion. Like I felt.
Yeah. 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 I totally agree. And like you could tell Taz got real quiet.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy cow, I've never heard Taz lay out like that.
He's watching his boy.
And I think that kind of resonated with him. And I am ready, willing, and able to repackage a couple of AEW wrestlers, one being Hook. And I don't know how you get him off the main roster for a minute. Same thing with Jericho. And we've talked about this a couple of times. Like, do we have a Jericho problem? Do we have a situation where we need to hit the reset? And, you know, obviously Jericho is a little more multifaceted than...
He wasn't on the show. Hook.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, so Jericho's not on the show. I totally appreciate that. Does that lay the groundwork for him to show up in like a backstage segment? He's wrapped up in some Barry Barricade or Tommy Top Rope where, you know, he's doing something. Timmy Turnbuckle over in the corner. But yeah, I think between Jericho and Hook, those are two wrestlers that absolutely need to hit the reset and come back after the pay-per-view, sort of like a WrestleMania, the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, which, you know, would be totally awesome to see Hook in a completely different, you know, setting. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't talk, maybe he is or he isn't part of a faction. But yeah, I totally appreciated everything he did. I thought he did a great job. I thought Hathaway played the role perfect. I'm here to get my ass beat, and I know that. Here's my note from my doctor. And, you know, not that I'm not down with some Wingstop, but I don't know that that's... official medical documentation to and then when he announced he was retiring,
my 12 fans, like, thank you to my 12 fans, I'm gonna retire right now.
Dude, so at this point I am not bummed out about any situation or any segment, any like I'm just loving this episode, and I keep scooting toward the end of my couch. I keep scooting toward the end of the couch. I'm like, oh, man, the only thing that would make this better is like some kind of interference in the back, because they didn't overdo it this episode. There wasn't like a bunch of interruptions and stuff. I was like, oh man, wait a minute. I need to hear from Don Callis. I need to hear some of his snarky comments. On point, on time, perfect.
Yeah. Well, just before that, though, we had Adam Cole. Adam Cole came out and made his announcement, which is what I was going to tie back to the Jericho thing, because I noticed that in another great segment, because it's going to be him and Daniel Garcia, but I noticed Daniel Garcia did not come out to the JSA music. He did not come out with the JSA. And then he had that little Freudian slip where he said, I'm the best wrestler. I mean, sports entertainer.
Yeah, so, he did.
So I think that's going to be a hell of a match. And not a whole lot to talk about there. There were a couple, again, little things
sprinkled
in there. Like,
yeah, that was.
But right back to
the little things. That's cool.
The long-term storytelling. That was the story when he went against Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson was, you're a wrestler, not a sports entertainer. So now we're doing another shout out back to old school booking, or, you know, what happened in the past. So that was great. Then we had the Don Callis in the back with Kenny Omega, and was Alex Marvez goes back there and he's telling Kenny, oh, you don't need those guys, those young kids. You're fine without them. And you can tell Kenny's a little upset about it. And you're back to being the wrestling god. You're back to solo competition. My only complaint I have, and it may have just been mishearing it, is I could have swore they kept saying that it was the only time he's wrestled solo in over a year. And I'm like, no, he wrestled Will Ospreay at the beginning of the year solo. So maybe they said in AEW and I just missed it and I misheard it.
Yeah, in AEW, okay. It was 542 days in AEW specifically.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I thought the same thing. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah, like, how are they going to ignore that match?
Right. Yeah, I rewound and it was like, okay, cool. But on the Twitter machine and on Raha.com, they talked about the significance of the singles matches with Kenny Omega going forward. And I don't know if that's feeding into some kind of long-term storytelling after he got jumped by the Blackpool Combat Club, but I'm definitely going to be keeping my ear to the ground on that one. Cause like what Kenny was saying before he got jumped was, you know, oftentimes I was wondering to myself if I could keep doing this at my age. And then he gets jumped and you're like, wait a minute, what are we? So there's another piece of that long-term storytelling that is just so significant. Like us as wrestling fans, us as sports entertainment fans, we totally take for granted, because normally it's just subconsciously the match is over, entrance music, exit music, cut to commercial, fade in, fade out, Excalibur, you know, sounding like he's chugging Jolt and Monster Energy drinks in the background. And this episode, real talk, this episode of AEW Dynamite was my favorite episode. It had me hook, line, and sinker. And had it been 3 hours, no problem. Because like when it ended, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, wait a minute, we're done? I'm like, oh, so I flipped over to A&E Rivals and watched an episode of that, because I was just like, I was so jacked after this episode.
Same with me, and I had worked all day.
Great, great. Yeah, no, yeah, you had to be in at 1:20.
I was up at 3 and into work at by 4. So usually on Wednesdays, I try to power nap, and I didn't get a chance to yesterday. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to struggle through this Dynamite. Now it was no struggle. I was up for the whole thing, and then when it ended, I was so jazzed up I couldn't go to bed anyway.
Oh man.
But
I had my jazz hands going. I had my jazz hands. And homage to the Tickler. The only, like, if I'm not going to say I didn't like it only because I know the origin of it, the only piece that I wouldn't give 5 beards to is the QTV.
Yep, that's what I was going to get to. So,
but watching it, I totally understand it from a snarky sports entertainment.
It's an FU to the wrestling media and all that. Yeah, I get what it's there for, and yeah, I'm with you. It's just kind of like a big you know, whatever. The other thing I think I would give it down to, so, or down, what am I, Simon Miller now? The other thing I would give a negative to is the Ricky Starks thing. So I'm not feeling, and I can almost, it almost comes off like he's not feeling this thing with Juice Robinson. No Ricky Starks.
It's definitely a step back. Yeah.
And there was no Ricky-isms in him. He cut this very boring, not as passionate as he has been.
I'm just over. Like, I'm
like,
over.
Yeah,
it.
He didn't want to like
show up.
This sucks. Like, I don't want to be in this feud. Oh yeah, we skipped the Moxley Stu Grayson match too. That was on there before the QT Marshall
thing. It was really good to see Stu Grayson. I don't remember seeing the hand for a little while.
Yeah.
So that was. You know, good to see Stu too. Looked fabulous.
Yeah, I thought the match itself started kind of clunky. And then it's kind of like almost looked like Moxley got pissed and slapped him and was like, get together. Like, we need to get this on there. Yeah. And then they went rolling from there. But that led into some of the storyline stuff too, because then they beat the hell out of them. And, they're heels. There's no getting around that they're heels. then we had the QT Marshall, which it is what it is. I don't know. Like, it's not for me. It's very WWE-ish, like you said. I understand the placing for it. Yeah, it was there. I don't know how long it'll last, because from what I'm getting, it's not getting a lot of great feedback. So knowing Tony Khan, he'll cut it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, there'll be something where it'll end. And like, one of the things I was hoping was like, while I was watching it and thinking, you know, thinking back to Garcia had said, you know, I'm a great wrestler, sports entertainer. I'm like, okay, maybe the JAS could, you know,
go away.
Ambush QTV and both of them end up going away or, you know, something. But yeah, I get it, you know, not seeing Hobbs on there in their cubicles, that was good. Cause having Hobbs associated with that, especially as the new TNT champion, I totally understood the point, and I can't remember what show or where I was reading, like the origin and the, reasoning for QTV, like, you know, just how you had said, like, yeah, this is kind of a tongue-in-cheek play on wrestling media. Okay, well, if you're doing this is like a 89.9% chance that CM Punk is coming back, because wrestling media are the ones that are saying on one side of the aisle or the other, he is or he isn't. So they're kind of blurring lines. And I was like, okay, yeah, I guess it sort of makes sense. But this isn't normal AEW. This is such a departure from AEW. It kind of played into Daniel Garcia's wrestler, sports entertainment. Okay, yeah, I get it, you know, whatever. So it was kind of fun.
What I'd like to see happen is they're cut one of these QTV promos and Wardlow just comes in and wrecks them all. just destroys it all and just beats the hell out of everybody in the room.
Everybody through every cubicle.
I mean, think about the damage he could do throwing QT and Solo around that room and literally blasting them through cubicles and through tables.
That'd be awesome.
And that would be a cool way to kind of have it on the screen for a while and then just destroy it. And now you've set up the rematch when he comes back.
Yep. That'd be cool. Good play. Good, you know, good
prognosticating. Good
programming note. Prognosticating. I like that. Yeah.
Then we had the female match with, or women's match. I don't know why I said female. That was really weird. The women's match with, Sky Blue and, Toni Storm. Yes, please. That was a great match. Like, so here was my concern going into this match is, by this time, I'm like, all right, Kenny Omega's coming up. I can't wait. But I really enjoyed this match. So that's a testament to what they did to make me kind of buy into this match. Because, you know, the What Culture guys make the joke and they have the game where it's, you know, the arbitrary women's match going on right before the main event. Okay, cool. And that's, to be honest, when it hit, I'm like, all right. But they sucked me in. Like, I truly enjoyed that match. I thought it was pretty good piece of business, a lot of good storytelling, some pretty hard hitting stuff. And then, you know, you get the beatdown at the end, or the attempted beatdown in Riho, and Willow Nightingale come out to make the save. The interesting part about this whole thing is, so you've got Willow, Riho, and Sky Blue, Jamie Hayter, and Britt Baker. So you've got five faces on their team and only three of the heels. I've just got a feeling they're going to have to pull some other people in, or they're going to do some injury angle where they're going to take out somebody. I did hear the reason the champ wasn't there is because I guess there's some visa issues with her. So she had some issues getting back or whatever over. So that's probably why she didn't make the run in. But I'm doing the math in my head. I'm like, all right, so we've got five. Are you bringing Monet in to add to the heel team? Are you bringing Ty Valkyrie? Are you like, because I don't know of anybody else in their locker room that's former WWE female wrestler that I can think of.
Hmm.
So it's just a very odd balance.
That's a good, that's a good, I had always sort of envisioned, like, not always, I guess it's been 3 weeks to a month or so when I heard Taya was wrapping up her piece of business. I was like, oh yeah. Because she's not going to go back to WWE. There's no way, you know, that soars, you know, too raw right now. And when Tony Khan recently talked about how he was encouraged to hear that Monet was interested in Forbidden Door 2, I was like, so how can we have this fair share of outsiders and originals and still make this interesting where it doesn't seem too like sports entertainment-y. So yeah, like you said, I'm super excited who are going to be the other names that they include in this match.
Cause most faction war that go on is the heels have the advantage, and then you get the baby face that turns or whatever. So it is very interesting that we've got just the reverse, and I trust the process. Like I trust AEW. It'll turn out well.
Yeah.
Then we had another great backstage segment that I thought was pretty awesome put together.
Man.
Stu Grayson's there getting his shoulder looked at, and Moxley walks up and puts his hand on his shoulder. I'm like, oh, okay. So maybe Moxley isn't heel. Maybe he's going to apologize for hurting
him. Okay, cool. Yeah. He just beat the shit out of him. Thanks for everything.
Yep. Thump. Yeah. Then he just,
come on, son.
Beats the crap out of him. Like he's, you know, like they're stealing his lunch money. He just beat the hell out of him.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Like, cause I did the way he walked up. I'm like, okay, like this is all right. I see what they're, all right. Yeah. They're heels. There ain't no getting around it. And then we had this little tiny main event that, you know, It was all right.
I mean,
some no-name wrestler that there's no story build to it.
Yeah, I mean,
there was no story. Like this guy.
Yeah, there's,
who's this guy? Like, yeah. Why is he in a main event with Kenny Omega?
Yeah.
All right.
And then the show was over, so it was cool.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say something that's probably gonna rub some people wrong. Uh-oh. And if you're listening to this and you get upset by it, I apologize. But If you're one of these people on Twitter or in, well, Twitter mostly, because it's the toxic place, that had a fit because they did Vikingo versus Omega, and you bitched a fit because, oh, well, I don't know who this is. There's no story, but because there's a thing is
breaking news.
There's a thing called Google. Google the man. Yeah. And don't come at me with this bullshit that, see, I told you I was getting my rant. I was hot, man. Don't give me this bullshit that, oh, well, there was no story built to this and we shouldn't care about this. I'm going to say it again.
Really?
You. Because I will give you.
So if there's no story built, that means that the smart fans aren't reading the lineage of Vikingo. So Vikingo is the son of the Viking who, wait a minute. So the Viking was a wrestler who is extremely famous in Mexico. Wait a minute. So he's a second generation wrestler. Bum, bum, bum. Oh, did I mention that Kenny Omega never lost the AAA championship? He had to relinquish it because he had to have 16 surgeries last year. So in turn, not that Vikingo isn't a worthy champion, but he's the champion because Kenny Omega had to relinquish the championship. And Vikingo, real talk, Vikingo is my new favorite wrestler. And I'll be hitting him up tonight to get some exclusive gear. And, you know, Vikingo, you're always welcome here. I know you don't have a strong beard game, but you're my man. And I'm going to ride or die with this guy. This match, this competitor, this matchup, the story, the build didn't need years and years. It was they've wanted to work with each other for years, and this match and the
I know you cut me off to cool me down a little bit, but the other thing that drives me, like, there is other things out there besides WWE. I'm sorry for WWE fans that think that's all it is, but don't come at me with there's no story build, because I will point to I will pull the past 6 months of Raw and probably give you 50 matches that there's no story build. They just throw them on the air. Or it's such a dumbass story that I don't give a shit about it. So don't come at me with this.
They just threw it in to fill seven minutes.
Why do we have Gargano versus Dominic? Where's the story there? There's no story there.
Yeah.
Why did we have Rhea versus Bayley? There was no story there. She just walked up and interrupted her. So don't come at me with this. AEW just builds nice matches and they don't actually tell stories.
Yeah.
Screw you. Sorry, I'm off my high horse, and I apologize if we go down to 400 downloads instead of 421 because I pissed off some WWE fans. I'm not a fan of hypocrites, and I'm not a fan of people who are so close-minded and single-minded that they don't take the time to, just like when we talk about WWE, I admit that there's stuff I don't like, but the Bloodline stuff's great. Some of the matches, another best example I can give you right now, Chad Gable, Cody Rhodes. Absolutely zero story in that, but I will tell you it's one of my favorite matches of the year. Just because I like AEW doesn't mean I can't appreciate that. So don't come at me saying, well, I hated that match because I don't know who that guy was. Whatever. Anyway, I'll go back through and edit all my F words out so we can keep this.
And you don't have to be friendly. You don't have to be the professor of professional wrestling or the absolute encyclopedia of every faction, every organization, every indie riffic, Excalibur, Expialidocious, whatever. There are some fantastic wrestlers on this planet that aren't part of AEW, aren't part of WWE, aren't part of New Japan. And that doesn't mean J or S about anything. Yep. That's a jack or shit. And, you know, I've seen Vikingo a couple of times and he's fantastic. But man, just like you said, styles make fights, and you put anyone against Kenny Omega and you were going to get a banger, not to take any heat away from Sheamus and McIntyre, banger after banger after banger. This was my number two match of the year, right behind Kenny Omega and Ospreay. And by the way, I hope Ospreay is alive and well and healing up. I saw he just recently he just got replaced in subsequent shows. So shout out to him and his medical team.
Yeah, hopefully he's good, because the rumor is Forbidden Door 2, Omega Ospreay 2. Man, that's going to be good. But let's end it on a positive note. The match itself between Vikingo and Omega was amazing.
Oh.
So we've talked about different styles of wrestling before, and New Japan has their strong style. They're stiff. They're high on the neck, which there was some of this in there too, man. There's one that I thought for sure Omega broke his neck.
Yep.
But they're very good. Oh, man. The reverse
that Frankensteiner.
Yeah. And then, so that's that style. Then you've got the WWE style, which is a little more pageantry and crisper, more entertainment, more pageantry, I think is the best word.
Very orchestrated. Yeah.
Which
choreographed. Yeah,
which leads into Lucha Libre, which is the Mexican style, which is the flips, the jumps, the very cooperative matchmaking. And if you go watch Lucha Libre stuff, even Lucha Underground, when I loved Lucha Underground, there were times in a AAA match or a Lucha Underground or one of those where you can tell they're setting up something and the person receiving the move will stand there and wait. And sometimes it feels like a long time because they're setting up whatever it is. I didn't feel that in this match. And that's a testament to Kenny, because he was in the right spot most of the time. Even the part where he had to climb onto the table, he made it look like he was hurt and he was just trying to get out of the way. Yes, we know he was setting up this spot. And he was so crisp. And one of the things that just blows my mind, the way he was in the right spot on all this stuff. Some of the snap on those Frankensteiners is the easier way to say it. Some of the snap on those, like, I couldn't believe the guy defies gravity. Not Kenny, the Vikingo defies gravity. The things he's doing, I'm just like, wait, he backflipped and landed on his back and then forward flipped him forward. Wait, how did he? Like, there were parts of the match I stopped and rewound it to go, huh? What it just happened there? It was just so good. Dream matches is an understatement. It was fantastic. I want him to run it back 100 times.
Yeah. Vikingo took a shot on the side on the apron. Breaking news. That's the hardest part of the ring.
No way.
Then you had a spot where Vikingo was on the he even threw his mask to the ground, which in Mexico, your pageantry, your presentation, your almost like your lineage, like if you were Irish or Scottish, the plaid of your kilt, the whole your whole like being is based on your who you are, what you are, the colors, the you know, your crest, everything. So Vikingo coming out is presenting the Viking mask, the compass. He's got the Viking compass. He's got everything dealing with the whole Nord presentation, which is an homage to his father. And he threw that to the side because he wanted to nail this move where he jumped off the damn pillar, the corner post of the ring, did this 17-20, yeah. Nailed Omega. And like, again, let's break it down. Kenny Omega is a above average size human being. He's probably 6'2 and some change, 220 to 240, depending on, you know, where he is in the country. And Vikingo was advertised at 161. And my man nailed every freaking move and was so crisp. And kudos to Kenny, you know, even to the point where he was even questioning whether or not he could go. homage to both of them. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this match and for your efforts for the fans, for me, for Jay Tilly and the entire fam. You guys killed it.
Yeah, and I'm sorry if you're one side and you refuse to watch it because it's on AEW television, you're missing out because it was fantastic.
Dude, you're lost.
Yeah, fantastic.
I'll watch it twice, once for you.
Yeah, it's one of those that I'm not going to erase it off my DVR because I'll probably watch it several times. Yep. I'm going to hold it till Jeremy can come over and watch it. But yeah, amazing, amazing, amazing stuff. You know, Kenny gets the win. Cool. Kind of. I didn't know how they're going to go with it. I'm okay with the Kenny win. Makes sense.
I loved how Kenny tapped him on the chest a few times.
Yeah.
To say, hey, brother.
Good match.
Brother, thank you so much. And I know and I don't know this for a fact because I'm not part of the Elite, but I would venture to say that Omega and Vikingo have crossed paths and have talked and taken photos and stuff like that. And just that, you know, just the little, you know, nod of the, you know, tip of the cap. I really appreciated that, and
one of the interesting things about that, because I thought about it when it happened, I'm like, shit, like, is Vikingo hurt? Like, why isn't he standing up and raising his arm and doing the hug? I'm like, that's weird, but there was a reason for it.
The second tap happened,
I couldn't, like,
and Vikingo rolled, I was like, wait a minute, what am I missing?
Oh my gosh,
Gotti.
Yeah, so when and shout out to Vikingo for not just getting up and walking out of the match. So what happens is he taps him. Hey, good job. I appreciate it. And, you know, Omega's drained. He's had his ass kicked and Tony Schiavone comes to the ring. And that's when he cuts the promo you started talking about where, yeah, guys, I don't know how many more of these I can do. And boom, he gets hit by Moxley and the Blackpool Comet come in. And I'm just like, what a great detail to not have Vikingo spring right up like, oh man, you got a good one on me. And to sell that and to roll out of the ring. And then to be hurt the whole time he's getting beat. So that way it's not like, why is Vikingo not helping him?
Yeah.
And
yeah. So selling was the theme or the thread throughout the entire show.
Yeah, absolutely.
With, you know, the Jacksons leaving to the nearest medical facility, Hangman jumping in, then stealing.
Yep, that's what I was going to get to next. The
medical facility wagon, and you know, Callis taking the bump. And golly.
So just for people that didn't see it, so Mox and the Blackpool Combat Club, easy for you to say, were beating down Omega, and you hear the sirens going off throughout the thing, and I'm like, oh, that's Jeff Jarrett. Just kidding. It was an ambulance coming through. Yeah. And you know what I thought was great about that is Moxley's punching Omega, looks up and sees the ambulance coming and just like, meh, I got time to beat him some more, and keeps beating him up. Yep. Like, he paused for a second, and then it's Hangman returning, and Hangman comes running out with I think it was like a 2x4 with nails in it.
Oh man, a black painted 2x4 with nails in it. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, a 2x4 is fine. That's sort of Hacksaw Jim Duggan-esque. But when he threw that 2x4 down and the nails were sticking up, I was like, bro.
And did he have a chain in his hand too when he first got out? I thought he had something else that he tossed aside.
No, he had a lanyard with the keys on it.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
He's
in the ring and, you know, chases him off, and Omega's recovering, and Don Callis like pulls on Hangman or something, and Hangman kind of yanks his arm around, and then Don Callis takes the bump, the
freaking
fake bump,
jerk, dude.
And then blames, says he hit him, and just absolutely fantastic ending to this show. More storyline. Now I'm dying to see next week to go, okay, like, dude,
so you're not going to see anything about this on Friday.
No, probably not.
If they talked about it, it'd be just be like by chance. Right. And as soon as the AEW's third offering of professional wrestling, which is going to be on Saturday on TBS at 6:05, that would be the segment that would open the show. And you'd be like, oh, and yeah. So this whole show, I'm trying to think of something I was disappointed about. I mean, outside of, there were a couple of pitcher and pitchers that went too long, but I think that's something that I purposely pay attention to because they do it so frequently. And I'm like, oh, here we go. See, time to go like take that. A walk about. And
see, I don't mind that because so it's something that AEW said from the beginning that even when they go to commercials, they're going to try to keep bringing you the action. So I appreciate the fact that they leave it on because, you know, the alternative
I don't know why it annoys me then.
Yeah, yeah. Because the alternative is like you don't see what's going on in the ring. And now you're like, well, right, yeah. Not that a lot happens in picture, but, you know, I used to watch it on Fight TV and they don't cut away like that. So you see it all. And that was kind of cool. But yeah, it doesn't bother me as much because I guess maybe because I don't pay attention to the to what commercial is, except for that one time when it was Nick Gage carving up Jericho and they go to a Domino's commercial.
Oh, my God.
That was classic.
Yeah. No, I think like the whole show, you had Vikingo against Omega. You had the returning Stu against Moxley. Blue Velvet had a great showing against Tony Storm. You had the Ass Boys against Top Flight. Adam Cole had a great, 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 great promo that opened up to a match against Garcia. You know, he's caught in that world of whether he's a wrestler or a sports entertainer. The tag team or the six way. The six-man tag team match, fantastic. I would say the only segment that didn't, that maybe have been would have been subpar would have been the Hook and Hathaway. But, I mean, that was one of your gimmick matches, and you're going to see that on literally any show. And, like, all this to say, this was literally, figuratively, however you want to look at it, this is almost a pay-per-view level show. I really, the threads, the energy, the crowd, the showmanship, the production, commentary, like,
ooh,
it had everything.
We didn't touch on a production note. The red, white, and blue ropes, baby.
Oh,
that was so sharp looking.
Dude.
That's all I'll say. I was just like, we're already an hour and 5 minutes in, but that was sharp, man. That was really good.
Dude. Yeah.
So final rating for you, brother.
Man, this was 4.5 beards, dude. This was my favorite AEW show. I've got my new favorite wrestler. Cody Rhodes is my favorite sports entertainer. I'm hitting Vikingo up. Hey, Vikingo, if you're checking me out, donde está aquí? I need some swag, por favor. I'm going to get some translation. We want you on. You are awesome. And 4.5 stars, the crowd, the production. Taz was the heat. Great job with watching his son put in the work. And kudos to the referees and the officials. Great, great, great.
Yeah, I went 4.75. Not quite 5. 4.75, baby. I tell you what, if
you're saving that 5-star for WrestleMania, dude. You,
if QTV, well, no, Revolution got 5 from me. But if the QTV segment wasn't on there,
goes wild.
And if I got more from Starks, I probably would have gone 5 because I enjoyed almost every single aspect of this show, other than those two little minor segments. So it just prevented the 5 on me. But yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
Man.
Fantastic show. Fantastic Dynamite. I really need AEW to get their streaming service together so I can go back and watch some of the older stuff, and then we can get our buddies who are trying to watch AEW on because, man, it was there good stuff.
Go. Heck yeah.
And it's that time of the show where I thank you guys also very, very much. We appreciate every download, every click, every subscribe, every like, every tweet. Everything you guys are doing for us, it just keeps us motivated and wanting to keep doing this. We love it. It's one of the best things I've done and I take the most pride in. If you haven't caught it yet, check out our episode that dropped the 22nd. It's one of our more serious but very close to our hearts, very a core part of our creed and what we want to do with this show. So check it out. It's all about mental health and trying to help prevent veteran suicides. And you know where to follow us, so Twitter, Not Facebook. I haven't done a Facebook. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, No Shave Man Cave. Give us those 5-star reviews. Subscribe on anywhere you get your podcast from. We appreciate it. Reach out to us on Twitter. Let us know what you think. We'd love the comments. We'd love to know how to improve, how to get better. We're working on our sound quality. I convinced Jared to get a new mic, so it should start sounding a little better. And
there we go.
Yeah, we appreciate everything. And I'm going to do the hot tag. Let Jared take us out.
Absolutely. Thank you, JT. Thank you to the fam. Once again, couldn't be doing this without you. We could, but it wouldn't be as fun. So thank you to Michael Hamflett and others. We've had a couple of cool tweet battles during this episode. Thank you to Lily for joining us lately. David Dickinson and 5 others for following us just during this episode. So keep doing what you're doing. Hit us up on Twitter. And where you grab all of your podcasts, keep subscribing, keep liking, and let us know what we can do better, because we are here for you. So until next time, fam, thank you for checking us out here in the No Shave Man Cave. Take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and we'll see you on the floor.
You've been listening to the No Shave Man Cave.
If it's pro wrestling, we're talking about it. Unless we see something shiny and wander off into the woods. If you hang around long enough, we'll eventually come back. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Fire off your comments and be sure to leave us a 5-star rating. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hit us up on Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok. At No Shave Man Cave. Y'all be cool, and we'll see you next time on the No Shave Man Cave.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.